Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores, where you can sort through the nuts and bolts of life, brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 638, June 16, 2021. 97 degrees was the high for this day, and that was in 1933. And in 1961, it was as chilly as 43 degrees, so I bet the kids weren't swimming. But if they were, I hope they would be swimming at a beach made free of weeds and muck by Aquaside Products, a White Bear Lake company. Those products are easy to use. They work quickly. They're registered with the EPA and DNR, and they are safe. There is no need to let weeds overtake your lake or pond this summer. Call Aquaside today. They'll identify your problem and make sure you get the right products, and that way your place is going to look great all summer long. 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
And now, from the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic, with Rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Haidt in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
I have some announcements. Tomorrow is going to really be fun. Positive Thursday. Johnny Haidt will be in studio live with his guitar and his amp, and we're going to be joined by Stephen C. Anderson, the hippest Garage Logic piano player we know.
Nice.
Who is beginning his summer of dock concerts with what's cool. called Yacht Rock. I'm going to give him some grief.
Oh, yeah, very
cool. Well, no, Yacht Rock is awesome.
I know, and I want to understand why people think that's awesome. I think I understand why, because you're out in the beautiful lake and the sun and the...
You don't have a care in the world.
You get
at
the
that
vibes
point.
Of it. Well, he's bringing his one of his electric pianos in tomorrow. Haidt will have his guitar, and we'll have about 30 minutes of a jam with Stephen C.
Very soft on the ears.
Also, I want to update you. I mentioned the Peace Park on Monday. Discovering that $6.5 million have been spent on what's called the Midway Peace Park.
Yeah, did you get over there?
Yes, I did. In order to provide green space along the Green Line. Well, I found it. It's a block north. I'm sorry. It's a block south of University Avenue on Gregg Street. And it's undeniably a park. But, boy, a lot of work needs to be done. It's not green. You would think for $6.5 million, somebody throw a little water on it. The grass is...
it's looking a little rough.
The grass is crunchy brown, and there doesn't seem to be a... and that's not the fault of the promoters of the park, although you would think, again, for $6.5 million, you'd be able to get a sprinkler system in there
right.
for that kind of money.
Agreed.
And there's some playground equipment and what have you, but it's a long way. The trees will have to mature and things of that nature. It's a long way from providing any solace in terms of being a shaded parkland. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks rather raw right now, and yeah. I don't know.
Bare and desolate.
It's very bare, and it needs growth time, and it needs a rainfall and many rainfalls and many summers before it's presentable as a park. And I guess I'm struggling to understand why so much money was spent to create what its promoters are believing to be green space, which is not green yet. Off the you got to get off the light rail train, I guess, and I don't know why people would do this. Maybe they will, and then walk up there and tell yourself I'm in the park now.
Frolic? Does it look like a park you want to frolic in?
I don't know what else you would do.
No frolicking.
You'd be hard pressed, for example, today if you wanted to get off light rail maybe and have your lunch there.
Well,
know if there's a stop on Griggs Avenue Green Line stop.
There would be University in Lexington. And that would probably be your closest, because Griggs is, a street or two off of.
Yeah.
So you'd probably get off by the White Castle and then just hoof it over there.
Well, and if you wanted to get off today and
an art store?
Yeah, go into there. And with a lunch, you would not be able to find any shade to sit under.
That's tough. And then crunchy grass, crunchy drought
and
grass.
And again, that's not their fault.
No.
Although they owe the likes of me. They'll never give me an explanation. But how in God's name did you build this ding-ding thing without water?
Yeah, there should be a water feature.
There is not a stop at Griggs.
Okay.
Matthew was right. You have to go over to Lexington.
Okay. Rook, there is a water feature.
What is that?
A circulating water that takes advantage of a slope there. And okay. I don't know that you can literally get in it, but it's pleasant. It's
more of an eye candy as opposed to a cooling feature.
I guess. And so I fulfilled my obligation. I went and looked at it.
Okay.
And I hope it flourishes. That's going to be years before that literally would flourish.
I'm looking at a satellite image here. To me, it looks like a great place for a drive-by. I don't know, but that's just, you know.
Hit up White Castle, then you run over there and zip by, and how you doing, guys?
Unload a couple of magazines as you're going by.
Demonstrators and city leaders struggled Tuesday for control of one of Minneapolis's busy streets 12 days after the law enforcement killing of Winston Boogie Smith and 2 days after a protester was killed by a speeding driver. That's the lead on the Star Tribune story. Let's parse this. City leaders should not be struggling for control of a major intersection.
Mm-hmm.
There's problem number one.
In modern day, absolutely not.
Smith's death during an attempted arrest by U.S. Marshals who were not wearing body cameras. So far, every word from the Star Tribune feeds into the side of the protesters.
Mm-hmm. And it only gets worse.
Launched daily protests at the uptown intersection of Lake and Girard. Protester Diona Knadek was killed in the zone Sunday when a driver collided with another car being used as a roadblock. I believe that was her car. She was using her car as a roadblock, and this crazy person, this bad, evil bastard, hit her car, and then her car hit her, and she subsequently died. It would have been better had she not attempted to block the street with her car, apparently.
Right.
On Monday night and Tuesday morning, protesters succeeded in barricading graffitied streets with upturned lampposts, wooden pallets, and construction signs. Trash bags heaped in alleys prevented traffic from entering the protest zone from the north and south.
Where are they getting all this stuff? It's just a pile of junk.
Two dozen protesters held space in the barricaded zone Tuesday morning. I don't even know what that means. As city workers directed traffic around the area. Some cooked out near a makeshift memorial to Smith. That's Boogie.
That's lawbreaker that ended up getting killed because he shot at cops.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Small groups of people chased away news crews attempting to report on the occupation. It's an occupation, huh, Star Tribune? Mm. Police arrived about 1 p.m. Tuesday, that would be yesterday, and took away the roadblocks. Protesters sent out calls for reinforcements. Across social media, dozens more showed up as police finished clearing the streets, and they soon began to rebuild the barricades. The area remained closed to traffic Tuesday afternoon, but Mayor Fry said the city would clear the roadway and said the city would not abandon Uptown.
That's a very telling line and choice of word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Choice of word, abandon? You mean like you did 38th in Chicago,
That's
Mayor?
That's right. At 8:30 p.m., law enforcement swarmed the intersection of Lake and Girard from the west and east, removing the barricades and arresting more than a dozen protesters. Later in the night, officers on foot and bicycle monitored the crowd. Okay. Earlier, Emmett Williams, a local resident, complained about the barricades and trash with Uptown Smoke Shop manager Mohammed Hassan outside the tobacco shop. "I cannot lie," Williams said. "Not all police officers are evil. But law enforcement agencies need to weed out problem officers." What does that have to do with Boogie Smith?
Nothing.
Another Uptown resident, Darren Luckett, said he was frustrated that the community had to pay the price for law enforcement's killing of another black man under disputed circumstances. Well, the circumstances are not disputed with me.
Right. I'm going on his... Well, go ahead.
When we protest with anger, then our shops, our stores, our pharmacies pay the price. Our communities is what it boils down to, pays the price for this, he said, or for the ignorance. I don't know ignorance on whose part. Fry and City Council President Lisa Bender who have clashed on the future of policing in Minneapolis, appeared together at a news conference Tuesday. Fry vowed police will break down the barricade each time they're rebuilt because he believes demonstrations have become more dangerous in recent days. As for tonight, we will have additional law enforcement resources that are in the area from our regional partners. He said, we will make clear to offer a dispersal order if anything goes beyond peaceful protest. It's not a peaceful protest if you are blocking a street. That's not a peaceful protest. Following the dispersal order, we will give people time to leave, and if they don't, arrests will happen. Residents and workers from Uptown, they cannot have the city abandon them. Kenny is right. That's tantamount to saying we blew it at 38th in Chicago. We abandoned that area. Fry also declared the Minneapolis Police Department will not participate in any joint law enforcement ventures in which agents are not wearing body cameras. Okay. Members of the media said they did not hear a dispersal order before Tuesday's arrests. Independent photojournalist Louis Tran asked officers why one wasn't issued. A Hennepin County deputy told Tran he should ask Fry. Well, what that makes it sound like to me, and I could be wrong, but the media was acting as an agent on behalf of the protesters, wondering why they didn't hear a dispersal order.
Well, I don't know what exactly business is it of theirs to do that. That's not their priority.
Bender reiterated the position she took after George Floyd's murder last summer, that funding should be diverted from Minneapolis police into social service and other crime prevention strategies. Well, she is just wrong. At the same time, she pointed out that speeding, car crashes, and other traffic problems have long plagued Uptown. She's admitting her incompetence at being the council person for her own ward, if these are long-plagued problems.
Yeah, unknowingly admitting, yeah.
And then here's her final quote, which is the quote of a 13-year-old high school freshman. How old is a high school freshman? 14?
13, 14.
Everyone kind of wants safety.
No, I don't kind of. I want safety.
I'm surprised there's not a like in there. Everyone, like, kind of wants safety. Everyone in our community is united in wanting racial justice, she said. Well, she conflates racial justice with safety. In other words, if anything happens to a person of color, she, in her mind, that's a racial injustice.
No, it's not.
Well, of course it isn't.
I can't think that way. What program do you think would have kept this guy on the righteous path and not have committed a felony and not been shot at the cops and then been shot and killed?
That's a great question.
I wonder what program.
A strong family.
But they're not even doing. They're talking about programs from the government. They're already giving the family away. But I'd like to know what program or class is going to make that kid be on the straight and narrow.
I have a theory about Bender. You think she was reading tea leaves in the year 2020 and realized she's done such a horrible job that she, in the interim, has lined something else up for herself in Duluth, and that she knew she probably wouldn't get reelected, so therefore she has kept up her constant stream of misguided nonsense? Because she's thinking, the hell with it, I'm not going to be around here, so I'm going to continue to spout the nonsense that I've been spouting for a year, because I'm not running.
Wow, that's
you
deep.
Drive off the road into a swamp. How does augering deeper and deeper and deeper into the weeds and muck do your career any good? Why would she do that? No normal, sane person with a brain would auger in, double down, whatever you want to call it.
You just nailed it. What normal person?
They're not normal.
She's completely insane. By the way, she does not have the power to pull law enforcement yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other problem. Let's say Bender has lined up something for herself. I don't know what that would be, and I don't know if that's the case.
Okay.
But didn't we read that she was taking some position in Duluth?
Yes.
We heard a rumor to that effect.
Okay. But let's say she is. I don't know. What county is that? Cook?
St. Louis?
Lake, St. Louis County, maybe. Whatever it would be. Wouldn't you think her supposed superiors would be studying her and finding her disagreeable for whatever she has in mind that she wants to do?
Not from the way Duluth has been going.
Well, they're going downhill as fast as any city closest to the country's tallest buildings. That's the city in Minnesota with the second most tallest buildings, I would imagine. Would it be that or Rochester? But Duluth is in a free fall. In a free fall. I just had family people up there for a baseball tournament last weekend. And they loved the lakefront, but they lamented of, you know, downtown Duluth itself, which has really fallen on hard times.
There's a website, realstoriesnorth.com.
And it's, you're reading the same website.
Yeah, go ahead, Kenny. Matthew. Go ahead.
No, Duluth to Leeser Bender headline, "We don't want any." Yeah. Rumors about the president of the Minneapolis City Council, Leeser Bender, the voice and face of the defund the police movement, is moving to Duluth. And then it goes on to talk about how I don't know anything about this source, though, Matthew. Real Stories of the
right.
North. Is this right, left, center? What is it? Here, there's a tab.
She's born and raised in Minnesota, earned a degree, master's degree at University of California, Berkeley.
That's there you are right there. She went to the failed academy.
Planner for San Francisco before moving back to Minnesota, elected to the council in 2014, becomes president in 2018. In an email to supporters, she carries on about all she's accomplished in her time on the council, passing Minnesota's first earned safe and sick time, which Duluth quickly duplicated, passing minimum wage. In her new book, How to Make a Racist, a.k.a. the Minnesota 2040 Plan, she drops bombs all over the House and zoning plan, stating, "We've inherited a system that for decades has privileged with the most forgotten people that we really have left behind. Housing is failing people of color." I'm trying to find where the job goes. "While housing is an issue," okay, they're not going to it.
You know what Lisa should do? She should check her city pension fund and see if they've been buying up private homes and then renting them. Mm. That's a trend that's been happening around the country.
Wow.
That big operations are buying homes and then renting them. And, of course, that would deplete the housing market for not only black people but all people. But if that's proven to be one of the main reasons why black housing is so difficult to acquire for black people, then I think the likes of Lisa should be checking that out.
Okay.
Is she involved in any investments where the companies are buying homes and then renting them instead of selling them?
If she's going to be pure, she should look into that.
I don't know what political advantage could come to her life by moving to a smaller area like Duluth. I just have no idea.
Well, this is the final paragraph. "The rumor mill suggests that Leeser Bender will move to Duluth for a few potential reasons. Some say she'll be taking over as the director of CHUM in downtown, C-H-U-M. I'm not sure what that is. Okay, an organization that, at heart, is necessary, but in action creates endless problems for the people and businesses around it. Or she is moving this way with political aspirations, as the old average size fish moving to a smaller pond to get a bigger seat in the next election cycle. Some say that could be one under Representative Pete Stauber's butt."
So
she would run for higher office up there, okay.
So you read that from Real Stories North. Real Stories North, quoting them, reading them, is a place where concerned citizens of northern Minnesota can share their stories. Apparently it's not left, right, or anything. It's just stories that are presented here anonymously.
Okay.
I'm only going to tell you about maximum load fireworks in Arcadia, Wisconsin, because I know protesters don't listen. Otherwise, I would hesitate to point out that the best fireworks around are in Arcadia, Wisconsin, at maximum load fireworks. You know where Arcadia is? It's a neat drive.
Yeah, it's on your way to Winona.
It's halfway between Wabasha and Winona in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you got to take a left.
Bert Hesley is the owner. He's a true GLer. He's been a pyrotechnics freak since he was a kid, but they only sell the good stuff. They test, and this is important because most of these shops across the river are really struggling to get inventory. But they have a test they do. If it doesn't pass their 8 out of 10 scale for awesomeness, they don't stock.
Okay.
And they will put together a complete choreographed show for you. Bert will assemble a complete show for you, including a big finale, so you don't have to screw it up like you did last year.
Okay, so here's the difference.
Yes. How did you know?
So you could go to Hudson or whatever and buy some firecrackers and Roman candles, but if you want to put your display together...
This is the major league stuff, I think.
This is a step above any other guy that's selling fireworks.
And as a fireworks commissioner, I'm terribly... I might have to make the drive in one of the
drive.
Neat cars because it's a hell of a neat drive down there. It's you know what we're doing? We're going the other way on 61. You can find out more
right.
at MaximumLoadFireworks.com. MaximumLoadFireworks.com.
Dang, I'll put together a display for me. Let me know when you're going. Thanks, Pat.
Are you rolling?
I want Height and Steve and C to do this tomorrow.
Oh, they can do this
Wouldn't
tomorrow.
That be cool?
Yes. When it's Wednesday, he's not taking off for golf. He's Joe Souchere.
Whatever happened to those days? Weren't we ending early for a while, a year or so ago?
Yeah, but I've rearranged the calendar, so we go off about 2:30.
We can only do a 15-minute show today, guys. How come, Joe? You never mind. Well, let me tell you, Wednesday, Thursday, yesterday, today is the time. It's time to get on it. Get on the web, log on to aimhighconstructionmn.com to see what Chris and the gang can do for you, whether they can knock that project off in the next week, the next month, the next 6 months, or before the end of the year. And it doesn't matter. Well, you know, there's some projects, actually, that he can probably get to right away. But it's up to you to make the call and find out. I'm talking roofing, siding, decks, bathrooms, upstairs, downstairs, you name it. And tornado damage, you know it's going to come along. That roof eventually is going to end up in your neighbor's yard. When that happened, make sure you have the contact ready for aimhighconstructionmn.com because you want to have Chris and his crew and local guys that know the area do the repair to your damaged house instead of that fly-by-night carpet bagger rolling in from Mississippi. Lumber prices, yeah, everything you've heard is mostly true. But thankfully, the labor costs at Aim High, they have not gone up. And as time goes on and lumber prices go down, Aim High and Chris, they're going to revise your bid to reflect the market. They're perfectionists. They do everything wonderful. You'll be pleased with the results. AimHighConstructionMN.com.
A story that I remain keenly interested in involves security at the state fair. There is, at this moment, no plans for police presence at the fair because the fair has disbanded its own police department. There has been a hastily arranged plan to put Ramsey County Sheriff's deputies there this summer, but that's been nixed by county officials who said they would need to approve that first.
Oh, very precious.
I don't know if the word hasty is even correct, because they've been talking about it for a while. Flat chess.
The move by County Manager Ryan O'Connor included a note on Tuesday to state fair officials that they should begin searching for another security arrangement for the weeks leading to the fair, despite negotiating with Ramsey County Sheriff Bob Fletcher for the past month and even hiring deputies to patrol the fairground since June 1st. I regret being the party having to share this news with you, O'Connor wrote to Fletcher and the fair's general manager, Jerry Hammer. The fair usually provides its own security through the State Fair Police Department, but the force disbanded last month when State Fair Police Chief Paul Paulos retired. State Fair officials said in a statement last week that the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office was providing security for the fairgrounds in the meantime and that they were in discussions to hire Ramsey County deputies for the fair. The problem? County officials say Fletcher needs approval from the Ramsey County Board, much the same way the board signs off on the sheriff's agreements to provide law enforcement services to a handful of Ramsey County communities. Well,
who are they going to call? Tomazoni and Asia Security? There's limited security forces out there.
Well,
what's
it say
here?
The county, the agreement must address liability costs, body camera policy, hiring needs, and impacts on the sheriff's budget. So we're between a rock and a hard place here. O'Connor might very well be minding the dollar.
Right? For the first time in his career?
Well, I mean, I don't know O'Connor. For all I know, O'Connor is saying, Fletch, you can't just announce that you're going in there with your deputies. What's that going to cost Ramsey County taxpayers?
Well, they're going to get paid. The Minnesota State Fair hires these officers.
O'Connor said the board only recently learned that Fletcher and State Fair officials have been in talk since early May. He urged both Fletcher and Hammer to attend a Ramsey County Board workshop June 22nd to craft the needed agreement. Until then, there's no way the State Fair for the State Fair to pay the sheriff's deputies.
Okay, so maybe this isn't so morbid or dire. If O'Connor's saying, "Come to this meeting, Hammer and Fletch, and we're going to go through the paperwork. Not we're going to vote on it."
I got an idea. You know, I've joked for years that somebody living in a mansion on Jupiter Island, Florida, is going to the mailbox and getting a state fair check.
Right.
Okay, that's not the case, but it's the State Agricultural Society that essentially owns the state fair.
Correct.
You pay for it. Why in the hell? I love Jerry Hammer, but I'll have to ask him. Hammer, the fair should pay for cops. It makes a fortune.
But I think they do. They have to hire them.
They do.
But okay, sure they okay. Do. So what is the protest O'Connor?
Wait. When the state fair had its own police department, the state fair must have been paying the bills. Now there's no police department.
Okay,
the
but there's
comes,
a. Go ahead, Kenny.
It comes later in the piece.
All right, I get it.
Where Sheriff Fletcher says 200 officers would be needed. That's 40 more that they used in 2019, and it would cost the fair $1.89 million for
what
the 200.
What did it cost them last time, I wonder?
That does not say in the piece.
Because there's a special pocket of money that's in the budget for the state fair. There have to be if they're doing their checks and balances that says, maybe right now it's $1.5 million, but they're going to need $1.8 million this year, and that's where they should go to the Department of Agriculture and say, "Hey, state, we need an extra $300,000 for these officers." Because they, for sure, remember 2 years ago, there was gang activity, there was trouble, and there's going to be more trouble this year. Yeah.
And the fact that this is playing out now is just ridiculous. And why did Police Chief Paul Paulos retire without notice in, what was it, last month?
He wasn't having the needs of his department met, is how I interpreted that.
Right,
so
we
got a little.
Okay.
And Fletcher's and the Ramsey County Board don't get along.
Right, with the live patrol.
Because, well, Nat and Fletcher, you know, has strong budget demands. And
and he definitely doesn't get along with Ryan O'Connor. They are not buddies.
2 weeks ago, Fletcher and the Ramsey County Board squared off in Ramsey County District Court after Fletcher sued over cuts the board made to his budget in 2020. The two sides presented their arguments to Judge Randall Abrams, who took the matter under advisement. So you've got a lot of egos in play here. But I will tell you this. Let me tell you something.
Yep.
I got news for you.
Bring it.
They don't dare have a state fair without one hell of a police presence. That's not going to happen. They'll have a police presence. Hammer didn't get this far by taking a chance like that.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. They're going to have a police presence.
So let's just hope cooler heads prevail and O'Connor says, "Yes, we understand that this is extremely important for Minnesota to heal from the pandemic." I'm talking all walks of life. You know, you see every minority, every white person is at the Minnesota State Fair, so it's not the white Minnesota State Fair. Everybody goes there. This is a moment to help us heal.
Yeah, but now I'm thinking of a math problem.
Yeah.
Well, would Ramsey County be without sheriffs for 12 days because they're all at the fair?
Well, they're also going to request officers from other agencies, including the State Patrol.
Right.
The thing that's so off-putting about this is, and I don't know Ryan O'Connor at all, he could have handled it with a little more, I don't know if class is the right word, but a little more positivity instead of coming in and say, "I regret to being the party to share the news with you, but you know this isn't going to happen."
Good point.
Why doesn't he come out and say, let's get together with the sheriff, the board, and everybody, and let's work this out. Let's get a positive, be a little bit of a cheerleader instead of such a Debbie Downer buzzkill, pedantic little creep.
Yeah, he started it out as being accusatory of Fletcher.
You guys are being too hard on this O'Connor.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be, but could you phrase it in a little more positive? Let's get this done. You know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah, I agree. That's fine. But I don't necessarily think O'Connor's the bad guy here.
No.
I think he's placed between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But I will defend my guy Fletcher, who I've known for decades, thinking, yeah, he likes to be in the limelight. I'll agree. He would probably tell you that right there. He likes to be out in the open. But I think he has a good heart, and I don't think he's trying to pull any scam. But
that's the great thing about Fletcher is you can ask him anything. He's not running from microphones or reporters or anybody. He's a stand-up guy. Yeah, he's got swagger, but he'll stand there and talk to you and answer questions. He doesn't run and hide like maybe some other police chiefs and sheriffs
do. Well, plus you know what else he did? He bought 5 Bentelli e-bikes.
Yes, that's from,
EcoFun Motorsports in downtown Forest Lake.
Got my vote.
That's all I needed to know. You're supporting the Ramsey County Sheriff is supporting our advertisers.
Amen to that.
So you too can be a Bentelli e-bike rider at EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. A full line of those 5 levels of electric assist Bentelli e-bikes. Great riding in hot weather. You're not going to kill yourself. You just use your electric assist when you need to. And at EcoFun, you'll get the right fit and the right size tires and the right frame just for your riding needs. Full line of Yamaha products. The scooters, the gas scooters that turn every urban errand into an adventure. Helmets, apparel, great service department. Really great people. Tim Bloom and his daughter are the most principal. And they're experts on the electric bikes, and they've got the inventory. A lot of summer riding still ahead. In fact, we haven't even technically hit summer. Go to EcoFun Motorsports. It's on Highway 61 in downtown Forest Lake.
It's that time of year again, the 4th of July, and that means firecrackers, fireworks, and fun. It also means plenty of business for me. Hi, I'm Paul from Paul's Prosthesis Palace. Try saying that 3 times. Huh. Over the 4th, business is booming. Enjoy the explosive patriotic fun and light them up. Then assess the damage and come into my store to save on all prosthetics and artificial body parts. Choose from the area's best selection of finger replacements, artificial eyebrows, all expressions in stock, including surprised and pensive. Save on body molds, wrist joints, knuckle sockets, glass eyes, multi-ethnicity skin grafting kits, lip coverings, eardrum nerve damage pads, toe attachment adhesive, and fancy scar cream. The 4th of July is risky, but America is great, and nobody sells more prosthetics than Paul's Prosthesis Palace. So after the barbecues and the fiery celebrations, we'll turn your carelessness and misfortune into savings. I'm Paul. When almost new, we'll have to do. Shop Paul's Prosthesis Palace. Have a happy 4th.
When almost new, we'll have to do
toe attachment adhesive.
Look, to back up just a second, too, with our buddy O'Connor.
Yeah.
Don't tell me why it can't be done. Tell me how we can get it done.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear. Tell me that you and Fletch and the board are going to go over to Sody's Cigar and Pipe in Stillwater, sit down in the lounge, light up a bunch of stogies and briar pipes, and get this done. Sody's a cigar
they can
and
have
pipe
a powwow.
In Stillwater.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you say powwow?
You can.
A wonderful smoking lounge there. It's completely separated from the purchasing area. State-of-the-art ventilation system. The guys at Sody's, they can help everybody get set up with what's right for them. Frequent customers, they have their own little lockers, and they receive a 15% discount. You can do that. Sign up for that special membership. They're located right off Highway 36 on Osgood Avenue in Stillwater, south side of 36, west of Osgood, in that little strip mall right there. You can also find them on the web at sodycigars.com.
The play story in today's Pioneer Press is extraordinary for its significance. A St. Paul Public Schools committee is calling for an end to student suspensions. in a district that continues to suspend Black and American Indian students out of class at high rates. We cannot do our jobs if students are at home, William Hill, restorative practices coordinator at Central High School and a member of the district's equity committee, told the school board last night. The school board created the equity committee in late 2019 at the request of Super Joe Gothard. The eventual end to suspensions was just one of several recommendations made during a presentation yesterday. Asked whether he supported the idea, Gothard was noncommittal. "We're going to have to review them all," he said, "of the recommendations. Do I want fewer students suspended? Absolutely." In 2013, under previous leadership, the district adopted a racial equity policy and began to address disparities in discipline, but little has changed. Black students, who make up 26% of district enrollment, received about 73% of out-of-school suspensions in 2019 and 20, according to reports to the Minnesota Department of Human Rights, which is monitoring the district's discipline data. American Indians make up 1% of enrollment, but around 5% of suspensions. All right.
That's not the 1% of enrollment and 5% of suspensions.
Riverview West Side School and Excellence Principal Nancy Pays, who serves on the Equity Committee, said students who get kicked out of school feel shamed and miss instruction, peer interaction, and opportunities for restoration.
Okay. Wow.
Hill said that to stop all suspensions, the district should research alternatives and create a task force. That's what we need, another level.
Stop with bureaucratic layers.
He emphasized the role that teachers play in suspensions, suggesting the district identify teachers who never remove students from class so that they can train those who do it often. Hey, Betty, you never suspend anybody. What am I doing wrong?
I know someone that...
Save it. Let me finish this. The district, Hill said, must, because I'm getting to the part that's the most significant. The district, Hill said, must correct misconceptions educators have about our children and say to teachers who object that this might not be the district for you. The Equity Committee identified several other disparities they say the district also should address. There aren't enough non-white teachers. Just 21% compared with 79% of students. And 79% of students are non-white? There aren't enough non-white teachers. Just 21% compared with 79% of students.
Okay.
And staff.
Wait, is that the same number they quoted earlier in the piece? Black students who make up 26% of district enrollment.
Right. Well, non-white
would be American Indian.
Non-white can be everybody.
Asian.
Hmong and
right.
Everybody.
Okay. All right. I'm with you.
And the staff generally lacks cultural and racial awareness. How could they? It's all we ever talk about.
Well, that's an assumption that they can't prove. That's BS. Please.
High teacher turnover prevents schools from maintaining a positive school climate. Well, maybe there's a high teacher turnover because you won't let anybody get suspended. The curriculum does not sufficiently reflect students of color, causing them to disengage from school. Here we go here. There is an ingrained belief that there's only one path to success and students of color must do things the white way.
Are we talking curriculum there or what?
Where is this quote from?
This is the Equity Committee. This is among the Equity Committee's recommendations and observations. There is an ingrained belief that there's only one path to success, and students of color must do things the white way. W-H-I-T-E.
I don't know what that means.
I'm calling BS on that one, too.
Well, here's what I did. I looked up the St. Paul Public Schools communications people to start with them, and I called, and of course they're still working remotely. They don't. They're at home, and I was told on the answering machine that it's better to email us. So I did.
Okay.
I emailed.
I got right back to you.
I emailed the
somebody from their living room. Ignore you.
Somebody sitting in their living room got right back to you, and they
said, "Let me look right now. I haven't looked for a while."
and I'm going to put down my sandwich and turn off Family Feud. And,
let me look for one. Let me.
Okay.
Here, let me see if they've responded, and then I'll tell you what I wrote.
All right.
This is 17 new emails.
Truly outrageous that I can't wait to dive into what the white way is in school. We know that you got to dot your I's, cross your T's.
Oh, I know. It's tucking your T-shirt into your shorts and pulling your socks up to just below your knee.
That's what I do. That's
so I emailed the schools, and I said, in regard to today's Pioneer Press story reporting that in conjunction with the lifting of school suspensions, that the Equity Committee believes that there is a belief that students of color must learn the white way. Would you please explain to me what the white way is? I anticipate your response, and I sign my name. What is the white way? What is that? What does that mean? Does that mean turning your assignments in on time? Does it mean...
Don't hit the teacher?
What does that mean? What are they going to further bollocks up these kids' lives by convincing students of color that you don't really have to learn the white way? What is that?
Is it curriculum, Joe? No, we're learning white history only?
I think it's more behavior. But I'll tell you this. If a child gets suspended, if it gets to that level, 99% of the teachers do not want to suspend a child. But if it gets to that level, that child is really troublesome and is distracting from the other 23 people in the school classroom.
Just consider that for a moment. That there's only one path to success, and students of color must do things the white way. 2 + 2 = 4. What does that have to do with being white?
Right.
What?
I'm with you. I seriously would like an answer. What is the white way?
I hope they respond to me. What do you mean the white way?
Because the white way is not, oh, you must follow the rules and pucker up. That's the human way. Follow the rules. That's the human way. It's not the white way. And if they're saying you can excuse behavior because an African, a black guy, or an Asian kid, or a Native kid is screwing up, you have to suspend that child if they're that bad, male or female. There's bad girls in first, second, third grade as well.
If the path to success is the white way, with success being the end game,
okay,
then the white way means respect for authorities, completing assignments, putting periods at the end of sentences, capitalizing the right words.
I would want to
turning in homework on time. If success is what we're after, turning in homework on time. What does any of that have to do with being white? Why can't a black kid do that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wish they wouldn't call it the white way. I wish they would call it the path to success. Keep the white out, because you're right. If you listen to your teacher, do your homework, listen to your mom and dad, you are on a path to success. It's not the white way.
If I'm in a math class and I'm asked to multiply 7 × 5.
You couldn't do that.
I could. It's 35.
Got it.
That's 35.
There's only one answer. Is that a white answer?
That's the white answer.
Well, I think we've seen intimations of this thinking before in different arenas. And I think what might be at work here is a predisposal to believe that learning and success are the creations of patriarchy. That they are the aftermath of the white founding of the country. And therefore, we as a committee in search of equity, we can find certain aspects of those disciplines disagreeable. But that's what I want an answer to. What are you finding disagreeable? What can replace the values that lead to that construct the path to success? They say there's only one path to success, and that's white. That's BS.
That's incorrect.
It's B as in B, S as in S. What if the path to success means I need to pass my chemistry test, then you must provide the correct answers to the chemistry questions. What other path is there? We're going to end up as a nation with really a lot of lousy doctors.
Right. Electricians, down, repair.
Are we going down the wrong road here? Are we assuming that this is about actually helping students instead of maybe something else? See, they have to answer to the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. Mm-hmm. They monitor the district's discipline data. Mm-hmm. What can the Minnesota Department of Human Rights do that will affect the school district? Can they do anything? Can they fine it? Can they defund it, not send them enough money? Is there something else going on here?
Well, it'd be my suspicion that the Department of Human Rights would be very approving of this plan to lift suspensions.
So are they doing this to acquiesce to the Department of Human Rights as opposed to actually helping students? Because, I mean, listening to you guys talk about this, this is bunk. This is nonsense.
This is just making children of color less than.
Right, but...
Which is a sin, in my estimation. I think it's a sin.
It just seems like they're kowtowing to something else and not really giving a damn about the students. The students just happen to be swept up in this.
I don't know. I think teachers, but maybe they do. Maybe they already do it. But I think teachers should feel perfectly comfortable at the beginning of a class, at the beginning of the year, to say to a very diverse room full of students, I expect the same achievement from every one of you in this classroom, from every one of you, and I don't want to hear your excuses. I expect the same level of achievement.
Set the
tone. What cultural awareness do I need to be made knowledgeable about to forgive a child of color from succeeding? So, that's not much of a culture if you're not succeeding.
No. Matt, did you have to go to math for dum-dums? I couldn't keep up in my just general math class, and I got sent with a few other people in my class to the dum-dum math class. Do they not have dum-dum math classes? And they did that to bring me up to speed so I would pass the test and graduate and all of that nonsense. Do they not have those programs now? Is that a problem?
I don't think early on.
Well, last week we already noted that in order to graduate everyone, they passed everyone.
Right. Which was...
That was how I got through sixth grade. Oh. Yeah. Mr. Free said, I'm not looking at you again. Bump you up.
The bad part is, the younger those kids are, that's the embarrassment. If a child did not perform and cannot read by the end of first grade, second grade, that child needs help and should not be passed on. That's where they're losing the minority kids, where they're just saying, just pass them.
I see in this.
So that's a crime.
I see in this the underlying ideology that whiteness in and of itself constructs a privilege that quite obviously would not be available to many people, and therefore, no, that's not the answer either.
I don't think you're going down the right path.
Okay, I'll start over. If the path to success is thought to be the white way, then what path to success do you have in mind to replace that there?
If the path to success you believe is the white way.
If you believe it's patriarchal and it's historical and it's been a laying on of hands from the founding fathers until now, you think that this just the way the system is set up is the white way, then please give me your alternative.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, give me your option.
I think that's addressed in bullet point number one. There aren't enough non-white teachers. Just 21% compared to 79% of students. So whose fault is that? where are the black teachers? How do we hire them?
And is a black teacher going to allow a black student to believe that 2 + 2 = 5? I would hope not.
No, I wouldn't think so. No, no.
No. And
is a black teacher going to tolerate disrespect from a black student? I would hope not.
Of course not.
Well, then what's the white way? I hope I get an email from these people.
You know, in my experience, I was told of a story where this young lady had somebody acting up. A black student was acting up and giving this teacher quite a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher across the hall, who happens to be black, 35-year-old guy, came across and said to the kid, why are you treating this teacher like this? And he said, because I'm upset. He said, she's one of the best teachers in this school, and why are you treating her with this disrespect? And took him out of the classroom, had a chat with him, and then that child came back and was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's supposed to work. He didn't say, he called him out and said, don't, you know, hit this teacher. Don't give her a hard time. Don't throw chairs. You need to act with respect for this teacher. Because she's a good teacher.
I think so. That lack of respect, does that come from the home? Where does that come from? Why is that there?
It's there, I can't pretend.
Well, it's just an ingrained assumption that the cracker teacher is bad.
Well, we've had this discussion a million times, and you know, if you don't have an ethical and moral ground floor by the time you're 7 or 8, you're not going to have one.
Right.
So there's a key word in here. And that's the mere fact that it was thought necessary to create an equity committee.
Right.
Well, what's behind that?
Shouldn't that be covered already?
What's behind that is the belief, we've touched on this yesterday, that all outcomes should be the same. But they're not taking into account the effort that goes into outcomes. All outcomes will never be the same unless those outcomes are assigned arbitrarily. If the outcomes are the result of effort, then outcomes will be all over the board in this world. Because some people aren't going to put in an effort.
Okay.
Some people are going to put in an effort and succeed. What does that have to do with whiteness? The idea of equity is behind this. In that, in equity to me suggests that... God, this is a delicate, difficult subject. By focusing on equity, I believe that there are people in this failed academy who insist that the outcome should be equal without believing that the efforts should be equal.
Kenny hit it right on the head with the math thing. Yes, Kenny, I was in the general. You know, there was trigonometry, geometry, honors. I was always in the low because I couldn't do those letters with numbers.
I ain't doing no trigonometry.
But, I was in the dumb guy one.
But look what they did there. They saw that this group was not like the high group. So they had to teach them at different levels because there's not always an equal outcome.
You're too hung up on just the daily classroom math class. I think what's at work here is something really far beyond that, much heavier. I believe what's at work here is the idea that we need to dismantle and reconstruct what success is thought to be. That's what I believe is at work
here. Think of another term for success.
I know. It's mind-boggling. But I think that's what's at work here.
I'm on board. So they know, they already know that equity is not possible. So they're going to restructure things, trickery and voodoo, to make it possible.
Yes.
We discussed this yesterday. Somewhere I found a quote. Two twin brothers in the same family, and I'm paraphrasing whatever I saw. Two twin brothers, same family, take the same course, try as hard as they can. One gets an A, the other one gets a D.
Yeah.
There's not even equity within a family.
Because the efforts were different.
I don't think it has to do with effort, Joe.
Well, a 5 will get you 10. The kid who gets an A worked harder to get the A than the kid who got the D.
Nah, I'm not buying that.
Well, then the kid who got the D is just a dummy.
The kid that got the
A. There you go. That's why I was in the dumb guy
math
class.
The kid that got the A read the list of words. The kid that got the D is measuring his head in the hallway.
Again,
this is... No, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that.
What are you buying?
What we've been talking about, Matthew and I. I could try just as hard as everybody else in my class. Kenny, you're a dummy. You go to the dumb guy class. And through extra instruction and working way harder than the rest of the class, I was able to eke it out, just get by.
Okay.
So this is the reappearance of your theory 20-plus years ago, your LCD, lowest common denominator theory.
Yeah.
That's what they're seeing as equity. Put the brakes on the higher achievers so everybody levels out in society.
It's even deeper than that. It's a belief that this might be part of critical race teaching theory. The belief that success has been defined by what white students are achieving. And we find that to not be equitable because students of color are not achieving at the same rate. Therefore, we need to reconstruct. God, it's difficult.
I think we're close, but I don't think we're there. I think we've been somehow led astray here.
Well, because we don't
really
have an
out. On.
We don't have
something
an end.
There's something else going on here that we're not seeing.
Yes, and I agree. And it's deeper than what we're not there yet.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the idea that, God. See, you know why this is so difficult for me? Because there is not a doubt in my mind that a black kid can be anything he or she wants to be and
be as successful as he or she wants to be. I'm witnessing it in my own family.
Mm-hmm. Not a doubt in my mind. So why am I constantly told then that these provisions have to be introduced on behalf of the children of color? They're as capable as anyone else in the world of curing cancer or flying to the moon or whatever. Now, have they historically been maybe shut out of many of those things? Yes.
Absolutely.
And no country in the world has done more to rectify that than this country.
We just had a black
president.
That's
not the discussion here, though. You're right. But that's not the discussion here.
Did President Obama follow the white way to success?
I don't know.
Well, Michelle Obama, she's smart as a tack.
Yeah. But that there's a lot to unpack here.
Did I just insult her as a tack smart? I meant to say she's very intelligent.
And it's that bullet point right above the ingrained belief that there's only one path to success and students of color must do things the white way.
Mm-hmm.
That's BS.
Well,
that's
I got news for you, BS. Kid. A black teacher is going to tell you that 2 + 2 ain't 5.
Right.
It's 4.
Wow, we're just imploding.
Yeah.
Those are the two questions. What is the white way, and what is your option?
A white way. Always sounds like you're trying to say right.
Yeah. What is the white way?
High teacher. Here's the second bullet point. We glossed over this. High teacher turnover prevents schools from maintaining a positive school climate.
Well,
why is there high teacher turnover?
Probably because of behavior situations that teachers are expected to either handle or ignore. I don't think teachers, back in my day, of course, here we go again. I'm an old man yelling, get off my lawn. Back in my day, the teachers had, of course, I went to private schools where the Christian Brothers would just soon beat the crap out of you.
They'd punch you right in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't, by the way.
But now it is the students can hit, the teachers can't hit back.
There's some things in these bullet points, guys, that just are, as far as I'm concerned, are a flat-out lie. Staff generally lack culture and racial awareness. Are you kidding me?
It's in
Minneapolis, St. Paul?
That's all we do.
Don't give me that BS. That is a flat-out lie. Maybe you hire some weed-eating hillbilly from northern Minnesota that's just only seen two black people in his life. Maybe. But if you've spent more than 6 months in the Twin Cities, you do not lack cultural and racial awareness. That's a lie.
And in the St. Paul and Minneapolis school districts, in the behavior division, there are many minority female and male employees that already connect or know what that minority child is going through. Right. And connect with them. So it's not as if Jane Smith, the 48-year-old white lady, comes out to try to tell, you know, little Jimmy what he's going through.
Right.
They've staffed them appropriately with the right people that can help out.
The only one, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bullet points. The only one we haven't read and talked about, and I think it might be correct, is the last one, Such. Read that one.
Parents whose first language is not English struggle to navigate the individualized education program process from their special education students. Meetings move too quickly and interpreters are provided only during the meetings, making it difficult for parents to follow up. Gothard, the super, said the district will have to prioritize the ideas and build them into a strategic plan. A lot of this work is underway, but a lot of it is new, he said. Well, I certainly can't disagree that if parents can't speak English, they're going to have a tougher way to go than parents who speak English.
Doesn't that seem like something that is correctable?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What do you make of Gothard?
Not much.
What's your opinion just based on this piece on him? And now, remember, he was the one that suggested that they create this equity committee in 2019. But reading his quotes, what do you think?
I think he has doubts about this.
Yeah, so do I.
It says right in the piece, he's noncommittal.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of thinking to do.
So why did he create this equity committee?
Just a minute.
Is that because, what did I call him, the Minnesota Department of Human Rights told him to?
Maybe. Yeah, it was created at his request.
Why? There's something else going on here. We're missing it.
But why can't we have a super or supers that just tell it like it is? Not say we need to create equity. We've got bad family situations here. We've got language barriers where some of the people that don't speak English, they just want to drop their kids off at school and say,
for the same reason, Matthew, for the exact same reason that Reverend Timothy Christopher is routinely ignored by the city council. For the same reason.
What's the over-under? What's the over-under?
They don't want to hear the truth, Matthew. Mm-hmm. People aren't ready for the truth.
What's the over-under on whether I get a response from the school district?
You will not get a response. You'll get the brush off, if anything.
Polite question. What do you mean by the white way? Because I think I know what you mean.
Here's what you're going to get. You are going to get, the over-under is a robotic answer. You will not have a custom answer to say what the white way is or what the option is. It's strictly going to be, thank you for your interest. We're working hard for equity in the St. Paul School District. Have a great day.
You know who you're going to get an answer from, Such? A teacher is going to hear this. Someone other than our buddy Lee, who works out in Milwaukee. A teacher will get a hold of you, and they'll ask to be left unidentified, you know, anonymous, and they'll lay it down for you. Okay. That's the only response you're going to get here.
0% for 60 months on all new Volkswagens? At Schmelz Countryside, yeah, including the all-new Volkswagen Taos. It's a new SUV that is slightly smaller than the Tiguan and is loaded with technology and stuff. Also, the ID4s are in stock for June delivery, an all-electric vehicle that's got so much extraordinary technology in it that it's wasted on a fool like me. I can't tell you anything more about the 124 Spiders. I bet they're gobbled up. This is Schmelz Countryside. It's on the southeast quadrant of 36 and 61 in Maplewood. Multi-generational, family-owned business. I've been doing business there for years, and I will continue to because I love Volkswagens, and I love Fiats, and I love Alfa Romeos. And they don't own 40 stores. The way they survive
is solid one.
Well, they got one hell of a solid one. And 0% right now for 60 months on all-new Volkswagens. Check out everything at SchmelzVW.com. SchmelzFiat.com and SchmelzAlfaRomeo.com.
In grade school, he was the dunce. Not anymore. He's Joe Souchere.
Did he have to sit on a high chair with that cone hat that said dunce on
it? That's a cone hat. That said dunce, even though you couldn't read.
Well, obviously the best safe in the United States of America is the Liberty Safe, and obviously it's made right here in the United States of America. And obviously you can buy it at MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com up in Maple Grove. Rich is the owner of that joint. He's offering full residential and commercial lock and safe service at great prices, from small little units to big standalone units or vault doors, which I've decided I'm just going to put on my front door. That's what's going to happen, my whole house of vault. Here's the deal, though. Rich is moving. He's moving a little bit on down the road, 6901 East Fish Lake Road, and it's a lot easier to discount some safes instead of moving them. That means, among others, you can get 20% off all AMSEC safes in stock, but you've got to buy them before June 18th. When is that? June 18th. Holy crap, that's Friday. That's Friday.
Yep.
You do that before Friday, then it'll be delivered by July 1st. Full commercial and residential lock and safe services, and pretty soon he's going to be doing it. New digs. Get on the website, look it up, and go visit Rich. MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com.
The White House will host 1,000 people gathered on the South Lawn on the 4th of July. And the White House is very keen on recommending that we all get out and celebrate the 4th of July.
Yes.
As a as an example of the successful fight against the pandemic. Essential workers and military families will be invited to participate in the event, and administration officials have encouraged local leaders to hold their celebrations. America is headed into a summer dramatically different from last year, a summer of freedom, a summer of joy, a summer of reunions and celebrations. An email circulated to the local leaders by the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs said. The National Park Service announced that visitors are encouraged to attend a holiday fireworks display in the on the National Mall, and that all nearby monuments will be open. Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser issued a statement that D.C. is open and ready to welcome back visitors. We thank President Biden and his team for acting with urgency to get the vaccine to the American people so that we could save lives and get our country open. The large celebration goes well beyond the scope of what Biden had promised 3 months ago. In a televised address in March to mark the anniversary of the World Health Organization declaring the spread of the coronavirus a pandemic, Biden said the country could expect to celebrate with friends and family on the 4th of July as long as they took the chance to get vaccinated and did not prematurely abandon mask wearing, social distancing, and other measures. July 4th with your loved ones is the goal, he said. All right. There were modest expectations then, and now the expectations are full-blown. There is one area, however, where the fireworks will not be allowed.
In the city of St. Paul by Mayor Melvin Carter?
Mount Rushmore.
What?
The White House is advising the entire country to let their hair down and dance in the streets. But the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, requested the correct permits and what have you to have the big fireworks display at Mount Rushmore, and has been denied.
Why?
On July 4th, because of our strong response, America will mark independence from the virus by celebrating the events across the country. Republican South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem tweeted out a letter Tuesday from the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs that read in part, thanks to the Biden administration, just what I read to you, but she's pointing out that the National Park Service denied a request from South Dakota state officials to host a fireworks display at Mount Rushmore, citing potential risk to the park itself and to the health and safety of employees and visitors, as well as opposition from tribal groups. Earlier this month, a federal judge declined Noem's bid for a permit to be issued expeditiously. There's not a word in the letter that I disagree with. It's just that I can't believe they're still denying us the opportunity to have our own celebration when they're basically directing all states, communities, and tribes to hold celebrations with pomp and circumstance, Noem said. So the fact that they're not letting South Dakota have our fireworks at Mount Rushmore is just political. Yeah. Well, of course it is. The National Park Service announced firework displays will be held in surrounding communities at Mount Rushmore as the—boy, this is terrible. Anyway, they can't have it there. They just can't.
Wow. They, I know in the past they've suspended them because of dry conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be the case?
Well, they didn't know when the permit was denied in March, they certainly didn't know what the conditions were going to be.
Correct.
Well, if you're going to be in that area, I would suggest, being a seasoned veteran of my South Dakota trip, heading over to Crazy Horse. They do one hell of a light show, and they may have their own set of fireworks.
I think what's at issue here is not the absence of fireworks in South Dakota. I'm sure many towns will have fireworks displays.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see fireworks in South Dakota, I'm reasonably certain that you will be able to. But wouldn't it have been grand?
Yes.
As long as we're being urged by the White House administration to let's have a summer of freedom. Let's have a summer like we haven't had for years. Enjoy your communities and let's have celebrations. And here they want to do one at Mount Rushmore, which would be the most fitting place in the country to have one. And they're denied to do that. But that's strictly some political gamesmanship, because Noam was thought to be was she thought to be a Trump ally or
It's ironic because it's funny. Remember what Putin said to President Biden about the 4th of July? You're going to see fireworks like you've never seen before. You're about to see fireworks like you've never seen before.
They had their meeting today.
Yes, they did.
Biden and Putin, and then they had separate press conferences, and I haven't had a chance to see those.
So yeah, I haven't.
Did Biden punch him out, put him in a headlock?
No.
He threw him off the top rope.
Some serious finger wagging, though.
Noam said, we had already complied with all the environmental hoops they made us jump through. We did all the fire precautions. We had a go, no-go checklist. We had done the consultations, so that's why we feel this is punitive, she said. South Dakota Governor Noam called President Biden a hypocrite for his Independence Day celebration statement. Noam added that she will continue her legal fight to overturn the Park Service's permit rejection, but with a decision on any appeal unlikely by the holiday, she will send a letter to Biden himself requesting he reverse the decision. We really directly feel as though last July 3rd, when we had those fireworks, it was a moment where this country could unify. We were proud of our country. We brought people together and gave them hope, she said. We want to do that again this year, but President Biden is refusing to allow us to do that, and then he could change his mind today and allow us to continue to celebrate our nation's independence. The nation is expected to fall short of Biden's goal of 70% of adults vaccinated by July 4th. But he's been advised that it's okay to get out there and party time. What comes after part B?
What comes before part B?
Yeah.
Party! Yeah!
That was pretty close, wasn't it?
Yes,
sir. Part C?
Mm-hmm.
Blue paint.
Mm-hmm. I got to write that down. I'll never remember.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
This
sounds
really
like
sad.
One hell of a blowout in Washington, though, huh?
Yeah.
I'll pass on that.
But I already told you about maximum load fireworks down in Arcadia.
Yep.
That's where you go.
I love that place.
Make it a drive.
I haven't been there yet, but I think I'm going to love the way he does his business.
Yeah.
I have discovered quite by accident that people who set fireworks off for events and towns and cities and whatnot are in high demand.
Yeah, they are.
Not just anybody can do that job. You have to be, from what I understand, certified.
Well, I'm quite aware of how this works as your fireworks commissioner.
Explain to me.
And the shows that I've staged over Garage Logic.
No, shows that I've staged over Garage Logic.
Go to the cooler and get a beer for this one.
He has his hands clasped behind his body.
Over Spoon Lake, sometimes I use the direct circuit board. Oh, and sometimes I go fully computerized. It just depends.
What?
And we've had as many as 5,000 to 10,000 people around the shores.
Can't
of
argue
Spoon
with
Lake
that.
For
can't
the
argue
fireworks
with that.
Displays.
See, so it's not like it was in my hometown when I was a kid, where the entire fire department would get fall down drunk, and then go argue, punch each other out, and light off the fireworks all at the same time, where the place to be was actually in view of where they set them off, because that show was always way better than the fireworks themselves.
Wasn't quite the professional show that you would expect.
To me, nothing beats
viewing a fireworks show from the water when you're in a boat. Oh, and you see that sea of red and green navigation lights.
The boom. Yeah.
I just love
it. The boom that carries over the lake.
Oh, and then you can see it reflected on the water.
And what's awesome, if you're on the right lake, there's usually a bit of a competition among neighbors.
Yeah. Well, not
and
only
that's
that
makes it good.
Not only that, but depending on the lake you're on the horizons, you can see the towns doing theirs.
Right. Yeah.
And so
I was fortunate enough at one time in my life to be in the air flying on the 4th of July. And let me tell you, that was fun. That was really cool because it was nonstop fireworks.
It seems to me that I did too once, but I can't imagine why I would have been flying on the 4th of July.
I think I did on July 5th flying out of New York, and the fireworks were still going when I was coming home. That was crazy.
I bet you can see a lot of fireworks from center point of Mendota Heights Commercial Office Park. Seriously,
yeah, it's higher
where they're
up.
Located.
Yeah.
It's a rolling campus of 8 acres, or I'm sorry, 8-building campus. It's a park-like. You're surrounded by trees. You're close to walking trails, bike trails, and great lunch spots, and I bet there's hillocks there.
You're higher up because
you're going to see the fireworks.
Yeah, 35E is just over the bend there. You're across the Mendota Bridge.
Wait a minute. What did you just call it?
The hillocks? Hills?
That word.
Yeah, hillocks. Yeah. Screw that one. Take that one out because that's bullshit.
Well, you're close to highways 55, 62, 494, 35E, free parking, no elevator waits, no construction hassles. Every single story office space is customizable, so you get exactly what you need. People are changing the way they work. They're changing where they work, and you have a chance now to start over in an entirely comfortable situation that both you, the employer, and your employees will love to work where it's easier to work. You can find more at Escape to Mendota. That's one word, escapetomendota.com. KS.
Two plus two is four. That's the Suchi way. Here's Joe Suchere.
Well, speaking of math and school, Seafoam is a wonderful product in a world of bad gas, but Seafoam, they've been with us for what, about 20 years now?
Yep.
And so that means the Seafoam class has been in session for a long time, so it's quiz time. I'm going to ask both of you the same question. Such, you're going to go first. There are six Seafoam products that we concentrate on here on Garage Logic. Name all six.
Deep Creep.
Yes.
High mileage.
Yes.
Regular Seafoam for your gas tank.
Three, right.
A truck and diesel. I'm done.
I'm going with...
I'm done.
You got three. Matthew, your turn.
Motor,
six of them.
Motor treatment.
That's the standard one, right?
What's the engine cleaner? The top engine cleaner?
Correct.
For boats, Marine Pro.
Oh, they got Marine stuff.
Got it. That was me,
Such,
Marine Pro.
You already failed, Such. You can stay quiet.
Yeah, he said
right?
Deep Creep already, right?
Yep.
Right.
You got said that. High mileage.
You're at four. Oh, you've got five.
And
one
then,
more left.
What's the one I had? I showed you the old can of TransTune.
You got it. Matthew, right. You got it.
Jeez.
Such, for extra credit, I'll pass you, Such, if you can tell me where these Seafoam motor treatment products are available.
Everywhere.
You pass. Yep. Seafoam,
oh, what a
wonderful
softball,
product.
Stupid question. You can get this stuff anywhere.
Of bad gas.
Many
Thank
of our offsite correspondents do the work that I can't get any of you to do.
Yeah. Thank God.
Jordy, Kelsey. Yesterday
can't
we were talking.
If they're suckers, Such.
Right, way to go for free, people.
Somehow the Montreal Forum came up yesterday. We were talking about the Canadiens.
Yeah,
what got wondered is, does the Montreal Forum still exist? And Kelsey provided me with a YouTube video of a tour of what the Montreal Forum is today.
Oh.
And what it is, it's an entertainment complex. It has not been torn down.
Okay.
And the Canadiens logo is still on the sidewalk in front of the front doors where you would enter the Forum. And what was interesting about that is, when you entered the Forum, the Montreal locker room was right there on the main floor to your right.
Really?
It was right there.
I've never been there, so yeah. I don't know.
And they've kept some seats.
And there's another Montreal logo at what would have been center ice.
I have a question of protocol.
Yeah.
Can you walk on that logo?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh, not like in the locker room where you can't walk on the logo.
I don't know about that.
I don't think. I mean, Wild, anybody in the locker room is not going to walk on their logo.
Boy, I wouldn't take my chances.
Yeah.
But there's movie theaters in there and kiosks and it's all been preserved and there's pictures and what have you.
I would like to go to Montreal.
Montreal is cool. Montreal is an island. Kenny, and I don't want any sophomoric nonsense, but you...
Why did you feel the need to point out that Montreal is an island?
It's an island.
I saw it in my head on the map, and I said, you know, it's an island is what it is.
Yeah. The Kelsey also came up with the origin of the bird named titmouse.
Okay.
The tufted titmouse's name derives from the Old English words tit and mace, basically meaning small bird. The word maze, M-A-S-E, eventually became obsolete, and this part of the name morphed into the familiar word mouse, a convenient switch because the quick-moving little gray bird probably reminded people of the small rodent.
Kelsey hating me as much as he does knows exactly why I brought it up. So
I do, too, and I'm not going to say.
Thanks, Mr. Smarty Pants Brainiac.
It wasn't for research of birds, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
To get away with something.
I had nothing to do with it. I just
wanted to get away with
one
something.
One reason only. Yeah.
And a really nice email from Chris Anderson, who writes, "My name is Chris Anderson. I'm from Osseo, Minnesota. Growing up, I remember my dad, Steve, talking about your shows and articles a lot. And early last year, he was able to talk me into finally giving Garage Logic a try, and I immediately loved the show.
Cool.
When we got home from work, we would take a walk around town and discuss the topic and news of that day's show. In April of this year, my dad was involved in a major car accident and passed away from his injuries a few weeks after at the age of 58. I was very close to my dad, and I'm still trying to comprehend everything that has happened. One thing that I've noticed right away, though, is how much I miss our conversations regarding your show and our daily evening walks. I just wanted to say thank you to you and the others on the show for giving my dad and I something that we could bond over and have great conversations and laughs about. I'll miss him every day, but I'll never forget the great memories my dad and I have created together. Keep pushing back, Chris Anderson, who is a mechanical engineer.
Very touching.
58's too young to lose your dad.
It really is.
I'm almost that age. My son is a GLer, and we also have frequent talks about GL, but mostly it's about how incredibly odd Joe is. He's just the weirdest guy.
Yeah,
I've
kind
ever
of bizarre.
Yeah.
Along those lines of sentiment, since Kenny's added that wonderful sentiment about our mayor here, Kathy C. had sent an email to us. Is there any possibility that you could ask Joe to sign a picture or stationery that says, "Happy Birthday, Gordy"? He's turning 80 and has listened since day one. She would think that would be amazing if we could do that. I sent her back, Kathy C., an apology saying, "I'm sorry, we really don't do birthdays. It's his 80th birthday."
What's his name?
Gordy.
Gordy's 80th?
Yeah, but we don't start the trend of doing that because then we have to do it for everybody. Gordy, good luck on your special day. We don't do birthdays.
For Gordy, huh?
Yeah, we don't do birthdays, though. Sorry, Kathy.
Only. Only. Because they come to us all the way from Marloth Park in Mpumalanga, South Africa.
So the filter was not working today. We didn't filter him out. You got the email.
I got it. He's sending it now two different ways, Tom Lyman, and I got them both.
Got it.
Yeah. He said, I sent the first email without using a VPN about 1 hour ago. I don't know what that means. What's VPN?
VPN, vehicle. I didn't. Never.
Like, anyway, I got him. So
a VPN.
Yeah.
Number.
Yeah. On this day. In 1931,
June 16th,
the bones of Minnesota Man are uncovered by a road crew near Pelican Rapids. Despite its name, the glacial age human skeleton is likely that of a teenage girl. On this day in 1945, the last Navy tanker built at the Savage Shipyard is launched. The Wasissa is one of 18 ships manufactured there for the war effort.
Wait a minute.
What?
Savage, we had a shipyard?
How did the ships get to the ocean?
Minnesota, Mississippi, Gulf of Mexico. That is awesome.
Wow.
No, maybe they took... No, that doesn't work. They didn't go disappear. No,
Minnesota, Mississippi, Gulf of Mexico.
That's one long hell of a ride, huh?
On this day, in 1999,
the dead end.
Kathleen Celaya, our little fugitive.
OLT?
Yeah.
Our little terrorist.
Our little terrorist. A fugitive since 1974, was arrested in St. Paul. Having lived under the name Sarah Jane Olson, Celaya was a presumed member of the Symbionese Liberation Army, the group that kidnapped Patty Hearst and was wanted before the attempted bombing of two police cars. Well, also, a woman died in a bank she helped rob.
That's true.
She had been featured on the television show America's Most Wanted a few months before her arrest. And boy, I will say this about her. She sure has kept a low profile, hasn't she?
Very low profile. I had to bring my father to the emergency room several years ago.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And
did he get waited on by her hubby?
This ER doctor comes in and I'm thinking, why is he so familiar to me?
Was that Celaya?
No, or he Olson. Was. Olson. I think he was Olson. Yeah. I forget his first name.
Oh, yeah. Kathleen Celaya was your Symbionese Liberation Army name.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will say that doctor was very efficient and very kind, and I chose not to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine me having a filter at that point, huh?
That's really hard for me to imagine.
Well, we were off the air, so it's a different
really
guy.
Really hard for
different
me to
guy.
Imagine. Say Father's Day is this Sunday.
What are we doing?
You've got graduation still underway, graduation functions, weddings. It's a great time to get to Grunhofer's.
Yeah,
old-fashioned meats in Hugo.
Oh, I've got something for you.
What happened?
Tonight is contest night at the old farmstead. It's the bacon cheeseburger brat versus the bacon cheeseburger hamburger patty.
Oh, right. You're up at your place?
And also, just to make the patty more interesting, I'm also going to fry up some bacon and throw a slice of cheese on it.
Yeah,
just to see.
Kenny.
So it's like a double shot of bacon and cheese.
Hate Wagyu to say steaks. It, Kenny, but you're doing it all right.
Wagyu steaks, baby. Wagyu burgers, ham, bacon, salmon, seasoning, brats, burgers, meatloaf. It's just been the discovery of the ages for GLers, and a lot of celebratory times are coming up, including this Sunday.
My favorite brand new appetizer is to buy chicken breasts, slice them up
from Grunhofer's,
and wrap them in their thickly sliced bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Grill them, add whatever kind of salt and pepper you want, but you will find that is a tasty appetizer treat.
Wow.
It's really good. And let the bacon finish. Don't take it up with raw bacon. Leave it on the griddle or
the
grill.
Yeah, how you do it right.
Yeah, that's how you do it right, so it's crispy. You don't want wilty bacon. That's too good. You don't want to waste it up there at Grunhofer's.
Well, if you're lucky enough to see Spencer with his white coat on, you could ask him about some of these recipes, too. They know all the answers.
He's doing it right.
He's doing it right.
Doing it right.
That's right on Highway 61 at the north end of Hugo. Grunhofer's old-fashioned meats. Thank you, GLers.
Yeah, it was a pleasant show, and I don't even think we needed, what's his name?
Where was he Reavers?
Today? I don't
know. What happened?
Oh, God, you're right.
He was
Reavers
opening up.
Wasn't here today.
Is it one? Oh, it's after. No, KOD opens at 2, right? So he could have been. He would have had time.
He had he had things to do.
He did. He had some stuff to take care of, yeah. So we'll cut him some slack.
Don't turn us off yet. I'll give one more check to my email. Did we get an answer to my question, what do you mean by the white wave?
Oh, yeah, please check. Please check your email. Meanwhile, until we get an answer from Joe, I'll tell you that PodMN is part of your podcast library.
I did.
Come on.
I did.
Well, let's hear it.
For further clarification of what was presented at the committee of the board meeting last night, I'm attaching a link to the board book, which contains the presentation from the equity committee. He didn't.
I'm not getting an answer. I win. That's a robo answer.
Oh, man. I have to read their book.
PodMN or PodMN.com. Fred Loney's Ace Hardware Stores. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next time.